Okay, scripture reading, Isaiah 40-31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come and repent. May God bless these words to our hearts and our minds.
You know, I don't like to be late. I like to be right on time. And I admit, I get annoyed when people are late. Now, I was married to a man who always wanted to be 20 minutes early. So if you told us to come to your house at 7, he was there at 6:30, long before you were ready for us. So I did learn to lie to him and tell him that we were there at due at 7:30, 30 minutes later than the party started, because then we'd be right on time. I don't like to wait. How about you? Do you ever go to Walgreens like at 5 at night to pick up a prescription and go through the drive-thru? Isn't that fun? Just vision the three cars in front of you, and you're going to sit in your car, and you're going to wait and wait and wait. How about the doctor's office? How many of you go to doctors where you get right in? Oh, I see a couple of hands. Well, my husband had one. It was a wonderful doctor. But we always had at least a two-hour wait in the waiting room, and then it could be another hour, 45 minutes to an hour before he got us in. Remember, Rita? Oh, it was awful. Finally, we changed doctors. While those are annoying things to wait for, there's some pretty major life events that are hard to wait for God's answer. It's hard to wait for answers for a problem with our own health, or have to wait for the answer to our other life problems. I want an answer to my prayers, and I want it now, and I want it in the way that I want it. Ever feel that way? So often we do that, don't we? Sometimes I get to feeling that because God isn't answering just the way I want him to, that he doesn't hear me. And, of course, that annoys me. I really think a lot of myself, don't I? Because I'm criticizing God because he frequently doesn't do things the way I want him to or in the time that I want. I have to admit, however, that as my faith has matured, I do understand that God follows a different timeline than I do. Apparently, his concept of time is a little bit different from mine. When God appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18, it was with the intention to tell Abraham and Sarah that they were finally going to have a son. Now, you understand that Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 89. Now, just to think of that, say God came to you tonight to tell you that you're going to have a baby in the next year. You know, all of us are a little past childbearing age, aren't we? We'd laugh, and that's what Sarah did. She laughed. God was just too late, or was he? Think about Moses. He's 80 years old. He's lived in exile for the last 40 years, and at a burning bush, he is startled by God. The dreams and hopes that he had 40 years ago had most likely evaporated. His people, the Israelites, had been in bondage as slaves of Egypt for over 100 years. During this time, a death decree had gone out against the Israelites, and hundreds, if not thousands, of baby Israelite boys were murdered. Moses himself had been miraculously saved from this decree. Why would God come at this late hour to this old man for the deliverance of the people? Is it possible that Moses' hesitancy was partially driven by his doubts about God's sense of timing? I think I can almost hear Moses mutter, "Hey, God, you're just too late." God was late, by the way that we process information. Remember Joseph of the Technicolor dream coat? He had a tough time of it. His own brothers sold him into slavery. Through no fault of his own, he wound up in prison. He helped a couple of guys out with the king, and they were going to get him out of prison, but they quickly forgot about him. 7 years passed with him in prison before he was rescued, but he made the most of his life, and as a result, he saved the Israelites. God's timing set up the events for him to accomplish this. It certainly wasn't Joseph's timing. We probably have all heard the story of the raising of Lazarus as told in John 11. Mary and Martha, do you remember them? They have another story. They are really good friends of Jesus. Well, they'd watched their brother Lazarus fall ill, his life force deteriorating. So they sent word to Jesus to come and help. They knew Jesus could heal Lazarus. They'd seen him heal others. So they sent word to him. They even knew he could heal Lazarus from afar, but he didn't do it. I would have expected him to take off immediately to save Lazarus. How odd it must have seemed to the disciples. Jesus told them that they would need to go to Judea because Lazarus was ill. And since Jesus was so close to this family, they expected him to take right off and head that way. But he didn't. He spent 2 more days where he was. What was he doing? Why didn't he take off? Jesus told his disciples very plainly that Lazarus was dead, but they would be glad that they went because they would believe. They must have wondered yet again, what is Jesus talking about? So after that 2 days, they all headed for Judea, and they arrived 4 days after Lazarus' death. We read that Martha came out to meet Jesus, but Mary stayed home. Do you think maybe Mary was a little bit angry at Jesus for ignoring their pleas? I think that might have been the case. And I can feel Martha's pain when she cried out to Jesus, "God, Jesus, if you had been here, you could have helped, but you're too late." I can feel that pain. Jesus just asked that the stone in front of the tomb be rolled away, and Martha was horrified by this. Now let's take just a minute and think about it. This was more than 2,000 years ago. The body of the dead was wrapped in spices and then in their burial clothes and put in a cave with a stone closing the entrance. They were not embalmed. After a year, when the body was down to bones, the bones were collected in a box. Think of it, this is a warm part of the world. Have you ever smelled a dead animal after 4 days? Maybe a mouse in your wall? Doesn't smell very good, does it? So imagine a person's body after 4 days in a closed cave, and think of what it would look like. This is what Martha was concerned about. To Martha's point of view, and probably that of everyone there, Jesus was just too late. Probably the most commonly asked questions of faith have little to do with God's existence or providence. The most troubling questions for God's people inevitably has to do with his sense of timing. For frequently, it seems that God is late. And God's people cry out, "When, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Why were you not here when we needed you? Why did you not come? Why are you so late?" I know I've asked that question. I'll bet most of you have too. Yeah, it seems that God is frequently late. Yet at this juncture, we need to be reminded of an important truth. God may be frequently late, but he's always on time. Let's look at how that is. Let's go back to those important scriptures regarding God's timing. We have to do this in order to deal with the truth. God seems to be late, but he is on time. In Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, God reminds us of a fundamental truth. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God operates on a different level than we do. He has a vantage point that we're unable to see. 2 Peter 3 and 8 says that with the day, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Obviously, God has a different time clock. He functions a little differently on his own time scale. His time is not our time. In Jeremiah 29:11, God makes a wonderful promise. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God functions at a very different level of intentionality. Unlike you and me, he only has good plans. This is further corroborated by Romans 8:28. Paul writes, we know that in everything, God works for the good for those who love him. Do we really believe this? If so, this forces a conviction upon us that said God is in control of our lives, and he alone knows what is truly for our best. Abraham and Sarah thought that God had appeared too late, but because God had come in time, Isaac was born. Moses may have entertained similar thoughts about God's timing, but because he came, the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, and we are all left with the story of Exodus, the greatest tale of deliverance in human folklore. There was Joseph, so long he waited and waited, and I'm sure life didn't turn out the way he expected, but God was at work, and because of him, the Israelites were saved from a famine. Mary and Martha were sure that Jesus was too late. However, he came, and because he did, Lazarus was raised from the dead. In each of these stories, and others like them, by our standard, God is quite definitely late. That's what we see, and that's what we feel. This is the human perception of his actions. If we will examine our own lives, all the times that God was late, or when we were certain he was, he really wasn't. This view of reality is pretty hard for God's people. We struggle to make sense of this. Some of you are waiting on something right now. Maybe you've been waiting a long time. But while you're waiting, God is there. He doesn't leave you alone. Often God uses difficulties and demands to help us grow in our faith. And he also uses delay to build our faith. Look at what God does in Isaiah 64:4. God acts on behalf of those who wait for him. It pays to be patient. Just remember this. While you are waiting, God is working. You're not waiting alone. Waiting in faith, God is working. God is doing things behind the scenes in your heart and other people's hearts that you can't even see. So what's the lesson on this faith lesson? If I really want to learn to live by faith, I have to learn to rejoice continuously. If I'm really going to grow, I have to wait patiently because God is not going to snap his fingers and give answers to my instant every prayer, because he wants me to grow in faith. Maybe we need to pray not only for what we want and hope for, but to say, God, I need you to increase my faith, even through the difficulties and struggles of life, because I know you're with me. I know that some of you are going through incredibly tough times right now, but you're not alone. If you're going through that type of time, then you can pray, Father, help me to rejoice continually because I know you're in control. I know I'm not alone. I know you have a purpose, and I know you will give me the strength to make it through. So I'm going to rejoice, not that this is happening, that but instead that I know you're with me while this is happening. A few years ago, I had a very close friend who was dying of cancer, a very hard and painful cancer. But she started every day by saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." I was comforted by her strength and by knowing that God's resurrection power was with her. When Jesus finally arrived in Bethany, the family of Lazarus was long past having hope. Lazarus was already dead, buried, and the grave sealed. He'd been dead 4 days. He'd been wrapped and prepared for the grave. Jesus told those who stood nearby mourning at Lazarus' tomb to roll away the stone. Now, he could have rolled away the stone himself. Jesus could have just given the order and it would have moved. So why did he do that? Maybe it was to let us know that the heavy stone of unbelief, doubt, and fear that seals us in our own tomb of troubles and unbelief can only be removed by lifting our eyes toward Jesus and by believing and trusting in his power to lift us up and out of our circumstances. I believe that God wanted everyone nearby to experience the smell of death that came from the tomb. Jesus wanted everyone there to know that it was not by the power of human flesh that resurrection and deliverance would come, but by the power of the Almighty God. There would never be a doubt that God's resurrection power was what brought Lazarus back from death and nothing else. The verses of John goes on to tell us that Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with burial cloth and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the cloth and let him go." I encourage you this week to read chapter 11 of John to get the entire story. Thank God for his power of resurrection. He may not answer our cry or bring deliverance in our time, but he will come when the time's right. Jesus was 4 days late in answering the prayer of Mary and Martha. He was 4 days late in healing Lazarus so that he wouldn't die. Jesus was 4 days later than the hope of all those who waited. Jesus was 4 days late, but he was right on time. Don't give up hope. We need to remember that even when it seems hopeless, God is in control. He has the power to resurrect our life and bring our deliverance and victory. It may seem that he isn't answering until hope is gone, but he is there and he will answer. It may not be when you expect him to. He may not even give you the answer you want until it feels too late. But remember, God's answer has resurrection power, and he is always on time. Armed with the truth, we can now turn to an important lesson of faith. Isaiah 40:31 states, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be wearied. They shall walk and not faint." Faith discovers its strength in the tranquility of soul that enables us to tune into God's frequency. For it is waiting on the Lord that we can learn the lessons we most need, that we can go through whatever challenge we need, and we can be victorious because he's with us. Wait on the Lord and find the strength that you need. In the words of the song we heard earlier about Lazarus, when he's 4 days late and all hope is gone, "Lord, we don't understand why you've waited so long, but this is God's way. It's not yours or mine. And isn't it great that when he's 4 days late, he's always on time?" Amen.